Please open your Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Luke, as we will read from Luke chapter 24, the verses 36 through 49. Luke chapter 24, 36 through 49. Hear then God's holy word. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So far, the reading of God's holy word. The text for this hour may be found in this passage, Luke chapter 24, and then the verses 45 through 48. Luke 24, 45 through 48. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So far then, God's holy word. Beloved congregation, one of the powers that has become evident at Easter is surely the powers of what I would want to call the powers of opening. The greatest evidence of this is, of course, that the grave, the tomb of Jesus was opened, and the Lord Jesus stepped out of the grave. The power of opening has been evident, therefore, particularly on the day of Easter, and it has continued to be evident also even after the days of Easter as well. Something of the power of this sort of opening can be read in the text that we have before us this hour, when we read, Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Now, congregation, I feel it a great privilege to preach on this particular text this hour, and I pray, and I have the burden of the hope and expectation that something of the power of opening may also be experienced in the midst of the congregation, even this very hour. Let us then consider the words of our text by the following theme and division: Jesus' power of opening. And there are three things we must consider. In the first place, He opened understanding. Secondly, He opened scriptures. And thirdly, He opened mouths. Now, congregation, one of the problems which the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had was that there was a lack of understanding with them. They just could not understand His ways, you see. Even though they had been with Him for no less than 3 years, almost day and night, they still could not understand His great mission. By and large, they were still under the illusion that Jesus had come into this world in order to establish an earthly kingdom, a kingdom where surely they too would enjoy some of its glory. Perhaps they would be able to sit on His right and on His left hand in this earthly kingdom. But we know that they were badly mistaken in this. They were mistaken in their understanding. And in some sense, you can well understand, they were also somewhat disappointed. His way and His mission was so much different from what they had expected, you see. They could not understand, for instance, why it was necessary for Jesus to suffer. Why the sacrifice? Why death? And why death on a cross, of all things? The disciples, they could not understand anything of this. None of it made any sort of sense to them. In the weeks before Good Friday, for instance, Peter revealed that he did not understand really why Jesus had to face the death of the cross. And at a certain point, he even told the Lord Jesus, "Far be it from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And the possibility also and the need for a resurrection was completely beyond the disciples' understanding, as we read, for instance, in John chapter 20 and verse 9, "For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise from the dead." The disciples did not know what to make of it all. They had no understanding. Now, this lack of understanding had serious consequences for their faith life, as you can well understand. Because of their lack of understanding, they simply found it difficult, if not impossible, to believe as they should believe. We read of this in a number of times in our text chapter. When the women told the disciples about the facts of the resurrection, such as the open grave, such as the clothes folded up neatly in the open grave at various points, the words of the women, so we are told, were like idle tales to the disciples, and they believed them not. Verse 11. And later, when Jesus, the great fact of the resurrection Himself, stood right before them, we are told that they were terrified, they were affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Verse 37. And again, we are told in verse 41 that the disciples still believed not. And it is therefore no wonder that the Lord Jesus at a certain point felt it necessary to rebuke them when He said to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." verse 25. You see, the disciples lacked understanding. Their understanding was by and large still closed. And that in turn, as I said already, has had a direct consequence for their faith life. And therefore, one of the first acts of the risen Lord after His resurrection was that of opening their understanding. As our text says, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. In order that the disciples might come to believe, Jesus first had to open their understanding. And this was, dear people, not a mere intellectual opening, but it was the opening of the understanding to the hearts, as it is spoken of, for instance, by Job of old, Job 38, verse 36, "Who hath given understanding to the hearts?" You see, the disciples had to understand with their hearts the facts of salvation. They had to become clear on those facts. They had to know about the suffering, why there was a cross, why there had to be a death, why there had to be a grave, and also why there had to be a resurrection. They had to have the right view on those things, you see. They had to be well informed about all of those things. They had to clearly understand all of those things, all the things that had happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in order for Him to be the Savior of sinners. Their understanding had to be opened for this so that they could believe in Him. Well, it was in Jesus' power to do so, as we read, then opened He their understanding. And dear people, do not underestimate the power that came to bear upon those disciples. Jesus' opening power was at work on them. And at that moment, things began to be clear to them. Things began to fit. Things began to make sense for them. The illusion was removed, and they saw the light of Jesus' way and the light of Jesus' mission of salvation also for them. At that moment, their faith, which previously relied by and large on sight and on physical touch, and which sank to its lowest levels when they could not see and when they could not touch the Lord Jesus anymore, that faith now began to function for them again. Now that Jesus had opened their understanding, now faith could begin to function well again because they understood now what Jesus was all about. Dear people, do you know what Jesus is all about? Do you understand the reason for His suffering and for His dying? And that it had to be the death of the cross. Do you understand why He had to suffer the torments of hell, dear people? Why His body had to lie in the grave? Why it was necessary for Him to rise again from the dead? Perhaps you are still uncertain about these matters. Or worse yet, perhaps you are still careless and indifferent to these matters. And if that happens to be the case, it might very well be that your understanding about these things is still closed. You hear the sound of the gospel in your ears, but you continue to remain cold towards it. Faith, therefore, is still non-existent with you. After all, how can you believe? You must first learn to know and to understand what it is that you have to believe. But here is good news. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus, you see, He still does this sort of opening work even today. He still operates His powers of opening, and He does so, as we are told, primarily through His Holy Spirit. May I therefore urge you, my friend, that you pray for this sort of work in you and upon you, particularly for the power of opening your understanding so that you may become inclined to learn and become inclined to understand as to what Jesus is all about. And perhaps we need to keep another thing in mind as well, that if our understanding remains closed to the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not well pleased. We know, for instance, from the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, where God at one point says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," or you could also say understanding, "because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." But it is possible that also amongst those amongst us who consider themselves Christians, that there is still a lack of understanding of what Jesus is all about. And perhaps this is still the case with you. Evidence of it, and you feel it within inside of you, that the vitality of the Christian life is missing with you. The assurance of salvation, it's not there. Spiritual things, many spiritual things tend to be very vague and rather at a distance with you. Or certainly there are moments that you do feel some attachment to the Lord Jesus. But what Jesus really means to you exactly, you find difficult to articulate in words. What you actually see in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what you value in Him, that you cannot speak of really. Could one of the reasons be perhaps that there is no prayer for the opening of understanding? That there is no active pursuit with you to understand the facts of salvation as they are revealed in God's Holy Word? Or perhaps it is somewhat different with you. That is, that you are overly concerned about your need to feel, your need to experience, and then you neglect to understand and to believe. Therefore, what a blessed thing it is, therefore, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not leave His disciples to depend on their feelings or on their past experiences, because if that had been the case, they would have remained very troubled. They would have remained very downcast, no doubt. But the Lord Jesus did a major resurrection work amongst them, you could say, by His power. By His resurrection power, you could say, Jesus opened their understanding. And this was certainly a very significant resurrection blessing for the disciples. And we know that this also became evident in their faith life. Dear listeners, have you already become acquainted with this significant resurrection blessing, the opening of your understanding? If so, the preaching of the facts of salvation should be a wonderful comfort to all of you. then every aspect of the Savior's suffering and death and resurrection should send signals of joy to you about how God was pleased to save a sinner such as you. Then no doubt your understanding will engage your heart to believe in what the Savior has done, and that He has done all this for you in perfect love for you. Then you should also have some understanding, shouldn't you, of the ways of the Lord. And it will then become possible for you to carry on in the Christian life with steadfast step, even if the ways of the Lord are at times difficult and hard to understand and hard to follow. Then your understanding, opened by the Lord Himself, will warm your heart to believe and to be comforted and to be assured that all things in this life, even sickness or loss or a setback, that all things will nevertheless work together for good to those who love Him. So you see, the opening of our understanding is a necessary work of Jesus. And therefore pray for this, dear people. Pray for it regularly. But then, this resurrection work of Jesus becomes even more wonderful when we notice that He not only opened the understanding of His disciples, but also that He actually opened the Scriptures to them as well, as we must see this in the second place. We read of this sort of opening work in verse 46, "And He," that is Jesus, "said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now here, Jesus is busy taking His disciples actually right into the Scriptures, the Word of God. And now that He has opened their understanding, such understanding has to be put to good use, you see, particularly in respect to the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God, you see, that is to lead the disciples to become better knowledgeable about Jesus' saving work. It is the Word of God, you see, that shows the church-going people what the Savior has done. It is the Word of God, after all, that leads believers to the full assurance of salvation. And only the Word of God, the Scriptures, can do this sort of thing, because it alone proclaims the Savior in all of His riches. This is why the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must remain faithful in proclaiming the Scriptures and in proclaiming the Christ of the Scriptures. Nothing else really is worth proclaiming, is it? This is especially necessary in this day and age in which we live, as we are getting closer to the end times. The Lord Jesus Himself has said that we are to be aware or beware in those days that there will be many who will claim to be Christ. You can read of that in Matthew chapter 24. In other words, sects and cults will show up and they will proclaim their Christ, so to speak. People will then begin to proclaim and assert, "Here is Christ," or "There is Christ." But dear people, if it is not the Christ of the Scriptures, it is a falsehood and it is a delusion of the devil himself. And therefore a faithful church will stick very close to the Scriptures. And any Christian worth his or her salt will look to the Scriptures for their religion and look for their encouragement in the Scriptures for the strength of faith. And dear people, you will prove yourselves serious in your religion by feeding your understanding on the Word of God, you see, on the Scriptures. And such feeding on the Scriptures will help then to strengthen your faith. Do not think that you can do without the Word of God. Because if you, and I hope that isn't the case with any of you, but if you keep the Scriptures close for any certain length of time, do not be surprised, my friend, if your faith becomes dry and barren and weak. That's part of the damage that you are doing to yourself when you keep Scriptures closed. Now indeed we know when we confess that it is the Holy Spirit who works faith in our hearts, and He also sustains faith in our hearts. But my friend, He does this primarily through and by way of the Scriptures, through the use of Scriptures. We read it, don't we, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then the Apostle Peter adds this to it yet in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 25, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Therefore, dear people, do not neglect the Word of God. Do not neglect the preaching of the Word of God. And I cannot emphasize this enough. And do not be satisfied, therefore, with coming to church just once a Sunday. Do all you come, do all you can, to come as often as possible. And may I ask the question, even this moment, will all of you be here, the Lord willing, this afternoon or tonight? Do not neglect the preaching of the Word. Do not neglect the Bible itself. Do not neglect Bible sessions or Bible study sessions that you have in your church. Let the Word of God be your guide. Let it be your textbook of faith. Read it, study it, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And if you are not clear on a passage, search it out. Wrestle with it. And wrestle with it in prayer for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Find Christ in the Scriptures. And rejoice then also when you have found Him in the Scriptures, because you will then have found the Christ of the Scriptures. Young people, boys, girls, listen carefully. May I ask you, are you taking your Bible seriously? Do you regularly read your personal Bible? And I emphasize your personal Bible. I trust you have one. You see, if you are to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will have to work faith in your heart, you see. And He does this by and large through the reading and through the hearing of the Word of God. And if you have come to the saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I must say that you will still need the Holy Scriptures to guide you and to keep you well protected, particularly from the traps and the temptations that are all around you, that you are surrounded with in this world. The Lord Jesus, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus made a point of emphasizing the use of Holy Scriptures when He was tempted by the devil 3 times. You will remember the story, no doubt. The devil told Jesus, make bread of these stones and you'll feed yourself. You won't go hungry. A bit later, just kneel for me once, the devil said, and I'll give you all the treasures of this world that you see before you. And the 3rd time, why don't you jump off the pinnacle of the temple and the angels will come down and hold you. But then it is remarkable, boys and girls, it's remarkable, and pay attention to this, that in His defense, Jesus, each time, quoted nothing else but the Scriptures. And in doing so, he did what needed to be done. It chased the devil away. Now that's the power of the Scriptures, dear young people, boys and girls. And then there's another reason yet to know the Scriptures and to have it well memorized. And I trust you do good work in your memory. When it says, for instance, in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? That I might not sin against thee. You see, having the Scriptures in your heart and in your mind, having the Scriptures in your memory bank will help you to hold off the evil, to hold back the temptations, because conscience will begin to speak through the word that you have memorized, and you will be at a great advantage over against the sin and the temptations. "I've hidden thy word in my heart that I will not sin against thee." Knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, you see, are the means for spiritual strength, for spiritual safety in the face of all sin and temptation. Now, the Lord Jesus, especially after His resurrection, greatly emphasized the importance of Holy Scripture. When two men were walking back to Emmaus, having come from Jerusalem on that late afternoon hour of Easter Sunday, they were greatly discouraged. They were downcast. But then lo and behold, Jesus met them. He caught up with them. And so we are told in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself." You see, Jesus himself used the Scriptures to put the hearts for their Savior. When they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us and opened the Scriptures to us?" Well then, this is called the opening of Scriptures. And this is also what the Lord Jesus did for his disciples, as our text says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." He said to his disciples, as it were, "Look in your Bible. It says so right there. Don't just believe me. Believe what the Bible says about me. Use your understanding. Use your head and then put it in touch with your Bible and see if your understanding heart will not warm up to it." Dear people, Jesus placed tremendous value on the Scriptures. He himself took the Scriptures so seriously that it states he suffered and died according to the Scriptures, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. You see, Jesus never did anything that was not according to the Scriptures. And this should tell us something. This should tell us that we do well to stay close to the Word of God, that we best obey the Word of God, and that we do what it tells us to do. And all when the Lord Jesus begins to open the Scriptures for you, no doubt it will become a delight for you to read it. You will begin to treasure it, because the contents of the Word of God, the Scriptures, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Him crucified and Him risen again. He once said it of Himself, "Search the Scriptures, for therein you will find life." And I know that I'm putting a bit of a different translation on it, but nevertheless, in the searching of the Scriptures, you will find Christ, and in finding Christ, you will find life. And let this therefore be a word of encouragement for each one of us. How marvelous it is, therefore, that already on Easter, the Lord Jesus began to open the Scriptures to His people. And He continues up to this present day. Even today, there may be some of you reading your Bible or listening to the Gospel. Some of you will begin to see something that you may never have seen before, though you may have read over it a number of times. You begin to see Jesus of the Scriptures. You begin to see your Savior. Your Savior. This, you see, is the power of opening. That is the power of opening the Scriptures. And it is a work that the Lord Jesus continues to do, even by His Holy Spirit. And this is indeed an answer to prayer, isn't it? When we, around church time, and I trust you have prayed this, open Thy Word for us, O Lord, open Thy Word. Well then, when this happens, the Lord Jesus will do more than open our understanding. He will do more than open the Scriptures. He has more power at His disposal yet, because we may see in the last place that He will then also open mouths. We read as a closing statement in our text about Jesus' reason for His opening powers. There it says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then He adds, "And ye," pointing to His disciples, "ye are witnesses of these things." Verse 47 and 48. And for the disciples of Jesus, this meant that all of them became preachers and evangelists of the gospel news, the good news. They were to begin at Jerusalem, but soon after Pentecost, they would be reaching beyond the borders of Israel as well, bringing this good news to the nations around them. And that good news was that if there would be repentance of sin, there would also be the remission of sin. That means the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, you see, opened their mouths. And the Holy Spirit gave them to speak the wonderful works of the Lord that they Himself had witnessed. And therefore, with an open understanding and with open Scriptures in their hands, they were given the incentive at the same time to open their mouths to speak what they had seen and what they had heard. "You are witnesses of these things," so says Christ. Well then, you might ask, should all of us become preachers of the Gospel? No, that is not everyone's call. But still, you will experience something of the opening of your mouth as a part of real and vital Christianity. You see, the opening of the mouth is as much part of true Christianity as is the opening of our understanding and the opening of Holy Scriptures. Because do you think that the Lord Jesus would open your understanding and would open your Word, or open His Word and not open your mouth? The Lord Jesus does not desire, He is not looking for dumb, silent, closed-mouthed Christianity. And when you as a believer have some heartfelt understanding of the Scriptures, when you as a believer have met the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, and then with blessed results, I know that you will find it very difficult to remain silent about Him. When the Scriptures begin to show you the Lord Jesus Christ as one marvelous and powerful Savior, and you have found it to be true personally in your own heart and life, a desire, no doubt, a desire will begin to grow within you to speak to others about Him. You just cannot help it. You do want to speak to others about Him. You'll find it difficult to remain silent, in fact. And when it really comes down to it, a closed Christian is really a contradiction in terms, don't you think? Well then, how is it with you, dear people? Do you know something of the power of the opening work of Jesus in your life? Have you begun to understand with your heart the things that belong to Jesus and to His saving work? Have the Scriptures been opened to you already and opened for you already? It's wonderful, isn't it, when that sort of thing happens? At such a time, you will be well advised to pray, Lord, open Thou my lips, that I may speak of Thee, Lord Jesus. Make me a witness of Thy grace. Loosen my tongue, O Holy Spirit, that I may bring my brother or my sister or my friend to turn from sin through repentance and into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Now we know that there are still people around us who are not yet saved. They may be right in your family. They may be amongst those whom you work with every day, or whom you play with, boys and girls, who are not yet saved. Do not let go of them, I urge you, without speaking to them. Open your mouth from the Scriptures to them. Show them what the Word of God says. Perhaps there is someone hearing this message who is not yet saved. My friend, the Word of God has been spoken to you this hour. And the Savior with His opening powers has been proclaimed, has been explained to you, I trust, well enough so that it will minister understanding to you. The Scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, the blessing of salvation is a real possibility also for you. Therefore, hear His voice. Do not harden your heart against Him, even as He comes by way of His Word to you this hour. I urge you, my friend, repent of your hardness. Repent of your carelessness. Repent of living as if there is no end to the pleasures of this world. There is an end to it. And you will be called to give an account to this as well. I understand you've received a message last Sunday about the whole matter of the judgment in hell. You will have to give an account if you continue to harden your heart. So I urge you this hour that you would repent of it. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Oh Lord God, I've gone too far in my own ways. Please turn me. Please open my understanding. Please open my heart. Lord Jesus, enter into my heart and into my life. Lord Jesus, help me. You see, it is a real possibility to be saved as you call upon the Lord. And therefore, may our wonderful Savior open your heart. May He set you free to live a life that promises one final and one grand opening that is yet to come for any of us. And that is the opening of the gates of heaven, when we may see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, stand there and welcome us with open arms. And when He will tell us, enter in enter into the joys of the Lord. Oh, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for His opening powers, don't we? For opening our understanding. For opening the Scriptures. And may it be the case with each one of us as well. For opening our mouths. May it be so. To the glory and praise of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.